But we are here because the Lord has risen. He has risen. He is not here in the tomb. What does that mean? What in the world does that mean for us? It's such a radical claim. And especially during Jesus' time, if you think about it, they didn't have any sort of conception of what the afterlife would be like. There was all kinds of ideas. A lot of people thought you just died and that was it. You just died and you're dead. And a lot of people in today's society believe that too, right? And some thought your body and your soul would be separated and your soul would go off to heaven and your soul would be with God. Some thought if you were one of the very few chosen blessed, you would go to heaven. Even when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead or the widow's son, the people knew that they were going to die again. So the life that they were restored to was not some sort of new life, but just their old, plain old life that they had. But what makes this gospel so unique? What makes it to break into everyone's concept of rising from the dead? It's that they don't refer to these kinds of afterlife. The gospel writers, when they say he rise from the dead, they're not talking about any of those old ways. They don't just say that his soul departed from his body and is now with God, that there was some sort of ghost or apparition. Jesus allowed Thomas to put his finger in the nail hole and in his side. Or that he was just dead and had been raised some way like Lazarus. The gospel writers don't talk about it like that. Jesus rising from the dead is an evolutionary leap for all of mankind. This event changes everything. And nothing remains the same after they look into that empty tomb. You know, Adam and Eve were going along perfectly fine, right, in the garden. And then they made that bad choice to go and eat of the tree of knowledge, and they fell. And so they're going along, and they fell down. And when Jesus comes along to restore us and resurrect us, he doesn't just bring us back up to where Adam and Eve were. He far surpasses that. And the grace that is offered to us in the new life that he gives us through baptism is far greater than anything Adam and Eve ever could have experienced. And that's what makes this story so difficult, so special, and so non-mythical, because it happened in a particular time, and it happened in a particular place to real people. The two disciples went to the tomb that was hewn out of a rock. We know where it is. We can go there and visit that place. Just outside the city walls, when Pontius Pilate was governor, we know who was around. It's not a just once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away kind of story. It's there in Jerusalem where we find the archaeological evidence, the coins of Pontius Pilate, that gives us credibility and veracity of our claims that Jesus was real. And this radical, mind-blowing story of God becoming man, dying in the hands of his captors and rising after 3 days, it's rooted in history. And those who were with Jesus at that historical time, those who experienced him in the flesh and saw him rise from the dead, nearly every one of them went off to death defending Jesus and defending what they saw. Peter and Paul and Philip and James. John was the only one who didn't die a violent death. They would not have died for some sort of myth. That would have been crazy, and they weren't all crazy. Maybe one or two of them were crazy, but not all of them. Their blood is our testimony. Our testimony is that Jesus Christ has been risen, and that he is truly risen. So what does it mean for me? Why is it important to me what happened 2,000 years ago? Because Jesus changed what it means to be human now. Not sometime in the future, not in the second coming, but now. His rising from the dead gives me and you a new potential. A potential of being like him of living with God forever. And we're able to act supernaturally. We're able to do supernatural acts, offer prayer and praise to God in a way never seen before Jesus. And it's not just some kind of new human life that we receive like Lazarus, but when we go to that baptismal font and we're baptized, a brand new life exists. We baptized 4 people last night, and they brought on that new life. This is why the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't even recognize Jesus when they saw him. They only noticed him when he shared a meal with them, and it was something familiar that they had done before. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him in this new resurrected life. This new life, it brings possibilities, new possibilities for all of us. It is God saying yes to us when we've said no to him for so long. The work of the new creation begun at Easter here, God remakes the whole world, starting first with Jesus. The Holy Land is no longer just a small parcel of land off in the Middle East. It becomes the whole world because God has recreated and sanctified the whole world. And those disciples who went off to a violent death, they're going out to declare to the whole world what God has done through Jesus. Philip, he went off to Asia. Peter went to Rome. Thomas went to Greece. They went out fulfilling the mission Jesus had for them, to bring all the world into this new creation, this new resurrected life through baptism. Jesus tells them, go therefore and make all disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. So as we go forth this Easter morning from this place where we celebrate, lay claim to what Jesus has offered you in a new life. See everything anew with eyes that have seen the risen Christ.